The president appointee for vice president has appeared before the appointment committee of parliament for vetting. The nominee answered questions on subjects as varied as inflation and foreign exchange, the stability of the Ghana cities, judgment debts, his previous positions as lecturer at the University of Ghana and at Anambra State College, and his curriculum vitae.
Mr. Chairman, in 1983 when I returned to Lagos, the universities had been closed down. And it was during that period that I was asked to help Dr. Boche in the Ministry of Finance. So I came there as his special assistant. I didn't have to resign. The university was on vacation, so I was paid by the university and I was working in the finance ministry. When the universities were reopened, I went back to teach and I was also working in the ministry, basically on part-time basis. When I was appointed in February 1986, I continued to teach and I was Deputy PNDC Secretary. So I was paid by the university for all that period until 1988, when I formally asked for leave and I was seconded to the government. So I was paid by the university throughout that period until 1992, with the coming in force of the Constitution. Vice Chancellor invited all the staff of the university who were working for the government at that time to formally resign. Mr. Chairman, I had notified the president at the time my wish to return to the university when the elections were held in 1996. So the understanding was that when the new deputy minister was appointed for the Ministry of Finance, I would then be able to go. So it took some time. Remember, that was the year, I think, when the continuing ministers had a problem. And I had to stay in. We had to write a new budget because the parliament refused to listen to Kwame Peprah, who was then the minister. So I stayed there for a few months to enable the new ministers to take up office.
Mr. and Mr. Arthur explained causes for the instability of the city and effects on foreign reserves.
Mr. Chairman, the observation that election years we witness some economic instability, especially in the exchange rate, is correct. But I think the best record was 2004 in terms of the evidence that I have. But so in every year, every election year, 92, 96, 2000, 2004 to the most minimal, 2008, and this year we've had substantial exchange rate depreciation. And part of the reason is also the perception of people that in an election year, both parties, both the ruling party and the opposition, will promise. And therefore, there's a greater danger of fiscal excess. And so the perception of consumers, of individuals, is that there'll be fiscal excess, there'll be a much larger deficit, and so they take preemptive action. This year, these developments have taken place. In addition, as I said, we have seen as a result, probably as a result of Ghana's middle income status and some of the things that happened last year, we've had a huge increase in imports. And so putting pressure on the exchange rate. But in the central bank, when we noticed this, we thought it was a temporary phenomenon, and so we decided that we had accumulated some reserves and we'll use the reserves to pay for it. It turned out that the pressure was much more than that. So we decided that it was therefore necessary to use some other economic measures to arrest the situation. And happily, we have seen a major deceleration. In May, we had more than a 5% depreciation in May. In June, it was 3%. In July, it was it's less than 1%. So we have seen a tapering off of the depreciation. We are expecting that this will continue the rest of the year.
Mr. and Mr. Arthur had comments on what the Bank of Ghana is doing about rising interest rates.
Mr. Chairman, the interest rate has been one of the problems that we've had to face. When I took office, interest rates varied among banks. There were wide variations in interest rates that were charged. So we decided that it was necessary to inform people about the rates so that people could shop around for banks that had lower interest rates. But it did not encourage much great reduction in the structure as we saw. So in meetings with the chief executives of the banks, we agreed on a formula that would be something in the way they do the LIBOR. That will help to rationalize the rate so that banks would charge rates that were more... banks would charge much lower rates. So we started applying this in April, at the end of April, and we should be seeing some reductions in the interest rates in the application.
He also spoke on the ECOWAS common currency and the country's performance on meeting the convergence criteria.
In the new position that I'm going to fill, I have to be very careful about this answer. because as governor, the governors of the West African Monetary Zone governors met, and we took a decision on this to advise our authorities on the way forward. We have seen the problems that a monetary union without a fiscal union, we've seen the problems that it causes. In Europe, they're going through major issues with countries that have had fiscal excesses, and which they are expecting the much larger economies to support. So, in designing the ECO, we have to be careful that we don't go through a similar thing where a very small economy in the group will create problems for the banking sector and for the rest of the economy through that. We are asking consultants to look again at the design of the West African monetary system in order to avert a problem such as this. But we respect the first part of your question about the convergence criteria. Ghana, well, we've done very well in the last 2 years. I think that we achieved 3 out of the 4 primary convergence criteria. So we're one of the better performers, because some of the countries that had done 4 then reverted and did and are doing only 2 and so on. But that is the problem that we have. We have achieved much higher levels of convergence, but the current problem is one in which a monetary union without a fiscal union creates problems for the union.
Mr. Amisa Arthur said issues of graduate unemployment is a worry not only to government but society at large. He noted that the solution lies in the design of appropriate program for creation.
It's a very important one, because you also want the education itself to be for people to want to have education to improve themselves. And if they find that people who have gone to school don't have jobs, they're going to then create a disincentive for people to want to have education. I think that in part I cannot be comprehensive in the answer, but in the design of government programs and so on, we have to put the labor employment, the employment aspect in as part of the design of government programs. And I think that should help to generate some activity that will employ people. Graduate unemployment is an aspect of the youth unemployment. It's just that they have had much higher levels of education and we are not getting any return from that investment. And that is why I think it is crucial. There are many countries have designed ways in which they have created domestic capacity, especially in the service sector. And this economy is growing in a way that is creating jobs in the service sector. And we need to encourage that. In agriculture, I think that there's we need to rely on education to improve the quality of farmers and so on, and the application of new technologies in that area. And I think that in all these, governments have an important role to be the catalyst for change. And I agree that this is a crucial area that we need to look at.
Those were some of the submissions of Vice President nominee Kwesi Amisa Arthur during his vetting in Parliament.